So why don't you give him a warm Victory Life welcome to Pastor Mark Price.
Thank you, Jacob. Bless you. Well, thank you. You can be seated. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Judges chapter 4. The title of my message tonight is My Name is Deborah. That'll make sense later. Now, I didn't wear the red coat so you could see me coming. So I thought if this doesn't go well tonight, I can park cars next door, make a little bit of cash, and we can get on home. But I do want to thank Pastor Dwayne and Sue for having us back here to be able to speak to you. You know, years ago, and I still do listen to Pastor Dwayne and his teachings, he made reference to body bags, that when he would go away, he had done a lot of work for the church, and he was more hands-on maybe then with people's lives. He said he would come back from preaching, and he said, you know, some things would have happened, and there would be body bags. And so I'm assuming I didn't leave any body bags here last year, so I got to be invited back. So I'm thankful for that. And I do want you to know I don't have a book, but I am going to be at the book signing table with Pastor Dwayne, because there is a limited edition of my picture that I'm going to be signing. And so I want to encourage all of you mom and dads, let your kids, you know, just, if Pastor Mark was Hispanic, color him that way. And maybe underneath here put mucho caliente. It means very hot. Or muy guapo, very good looking. Or a little darker shade, and my name could be Marcus, and be like a brother from another mother. Maybe yellow, and I could be Asian descent, and I have Indian in me, so I'm on both sides of my family. I have Cherokee, and so underneath there, you know, color me a little bit red, and you could put Mark Running Bear Price, Mark Tall Tree Price, but I don't know. So we're going to have a good time tonight with this. And again, just thank you for being here tonight. And I'm going to ask you a question. If you were here last year, are you still climbing? You're still climbing. So you're not nesting. You are resting when you're supposed to, but you're still climbing. So in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what I've learned from that is that you cannot give to anybody what you do not have. You can't give them anything. So many times when we say, well, I'm sorry I said that, really what we're saying is, I'm sorry you heard what I said. Because really it is in you. That's why it came out of you. So I'm full tonight, and I believe that I've got something for this body and for this church, for this pastor, for this team. So the Bible says if you're hungry and thirsty, you can be filled. So if you came tonight with expectation, something's going to happen in your life tonight. I really believe that. Because I do know you were encouraged. So for 4 days, you've been preparing your heart. You've been guarding your heart. And now tonight, I need you to open up and enlarge your heart. So I believe God, I have something that I carry now that 3.5 years ago, I did not carry. And at the end of the service, I want to be able to impart this to you through a prayer. And so I'm going to do that at the end of the service. So and I'll make sure time's permitting, but at the end of January, I went away, and like pastors do, and I was a couple of days away just praying and asking the Lord about our church and things of that nature. And I was having one of the sweetest times I've ever had just worshiping the Lord, and the sheriff family invaded my whole thoughts. And so I have something to speak over Pastor Dwayne and Sue and your 4 kids as well. So I'm going to be able to do that. But in Judges chapter 4, verse 1 through 5, it says this. After Ehud died, and he was the second judge of Israel, it says the Israelites once again did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord sold them into the hands of Jabin, a king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth Hagoyim. Because he had 900 iron chariots and had cruelly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years, they cried to the Lord for help. And this is the scripture that I want to preach from tonight. Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was leading Israel at that time. Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was leading Israel at that time. Now, I want you to notice, and I want you to just underline how Deborah is introduced to us in Scripture. First, it's her calling in life as a prophetess. The second thing, that she is a wife. That's her position of submission to the authority in her life. The third thing, it says that she is leading Israel. So there's a leadership position, a position of authority in other people's lives. And it says at that time. Everybody say that time. So that's a specific time frame or a season of her life. So I want to talk to you about those three things. I want to talk to you about a prophetess. I want to talk to you about a wife. And I want to talk to you about leadership or leading. So the first thing it says is that Deborah was a prophetess. So when you look at Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 through 5, it's familiar. Most of you know this. But this is what it says. The word of the Lord came to me. The word of the Lord came to me. And I'm going to encourage you. Many of us, probably many of us that grew up in Pentecost or charismatic move, many times we were always asking God, just have somebody prophesy over me. Just have somebody come give me a word. But what really changes you is when you get a word from the Lord to you. And this is what it said. Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. And I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. So I want you to notice that in Scripture, what God tells Jeremiah. He said, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. I knew you before your parents did. Listen, your mom and dad were just a vehicle to get you here. So if you got here under circumstances that are not as great maybe as some other people, let me just tell you this. God knew you before you were formed. God set you apart. And God used that man and that woman to get you here as a vehicle. So yes, you're the son and the daughter of whoever, but you are the son of the Most High God, and you are the daughter of the Most High God. And it said, God tells Jeremiah, you are different. I've set you apart. You're not better than other people, but you've been set apart. Every one of you in here tonight, you have been set apart. Whether you realize it or not, you have been set apart. And then he says to Jeremiah, he gives him his assignment on the earth. He said, I appointed you as a prophet to the nations, to the nations. So he knew you, he set you, he appointed you. So I want to ask you a question tonight. Do you have a word from the Lord to you about you? And you need to let that sink in. Do you have a word from the Lord to you about you? And stop. I really feel like as Christians, we need to stop waiting on God bringing somebody into our life to give us a word. That's great. And we probably, many of us have had that. So last night, I went back to the room. Pastor Duane had given me his book, and I ended up reading the first five chapters. And I've never heard Pastor Duane talk about that he was seeking a word from anybody. And I found out why. It's because in his book, he talked about he had a word from God. He had a vision from God of him being in Christ, and it completely changed his life. And what I have found as a pastor for the last 31 years in being in ministry is people that have to have a word from other people are not growing up in Christ. But people that have a word from the Lord to them, about them, it doesn't matter what is going on in their life. Because everybody wants to quit. Everybody wants to give up. Everybody wants to do something else. But when you have a word from the Lord to you, about you, you don't stop and you don't quit and you don't give up and you move forward. And many of you here tonight, maybe you don't have that, but I'm praying that when we pray over you at the end of the service, that God will begin to speak to you about you. And that's something that becomes an anchor in your life. Do you know your assignment while you're here on this planet? Because it says Jeremiah was appointed and anointed as a prophet to the nations, plural. Not not just one nation. His influence was to go to beyond one people group, one culture, one color, one ethnicity. Teresa and I now pastor a church in Killeen, Texas, and Killeen has 47 different ethnicities within the city. Part of that is, most of that is probably due to Fort Hood, because there's over 40,000 or around 40,000 troops. There's 100,000 people out there on Fort Hood. Most of those are related to those soldiers. But the church that we pastor looks like everybody off of all the different continents. So we have a plethora of people color. And this assignment that he said is, I've made you a prophet to the nations. And I believe God has got more for you to do than just for one culture, to speak into one culture, to speak into one people group, and become comfortable in that. Listen, I'm a 6'6", skinny, tall, white boy from Pottsboro, and he stuck me in the midst of a multi-ethnic, generational church, multicultural, and my life has been so enriched by that. And God wants to move you across your cultures. Maybe your cultures is not black and white or brown and red. Maybe it's Oklahoma and Texas. I don't know. But Seth, I was thinking about that a while ago, about being your favorite pastor. And I thought about Seth, rhymes with breath. And God's breathed into Adam the breath of life. So Seth, breath, God. I don't know about Jesus and King, but God. I tell you, brother. I may not get invited back now because Pastor Dwayne's like, that's just lame right there. But see, I believe Jeremiah had a date with destiny. So I want to ask you this question. Has your destiny and your purpose kissed? Has it met? The word horizon means when heaven and earth meets, and heaven and earth comes together. And you're here on this earth. You live in the kingdom of God, but you also live in the kingdom of the United States of America. You're a son and daughter of God. You walk in covenant with him and with man. You walk in dominion, as Jesus told us we could, as God told us we could. And if you know your sonship and identity, you know who you are in Christ. So I want to ask you this again. Has your date with destiny, or has your destiny and your purpose kissed? See, in Romans chapter 12, verse 4 through 8, it says this. Just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. I want you to look at your neighbor and say this to them. Say, I don't know if you know this, but you belong to me. That's what Scripture says. Right there, it says that we belong to one another. We have different gifts according to the grace given us: prophesying, serving, teaching, encouraging, contributing to the needs of others, so give generously, leadership, showing mercy. Stop desiring other people's gifts. Stop desiring other people's gifts. My life was a mess as a Christian when I was first saved, really saved, gave my life to God because I wanted to speak like so-and-so, teach like so-and-so, sing like so-and-so, play like so-and-so, and I did not know who I was. And I just finally come to the conclusion, look, there are other people that play instruments better than me, and there are other people that don't play instruments at all. There are people that sing better than me, and there's people that can't sing, they can't carry a tune, as they say, in the bucket. So I decided to find out, just to be happy with who I am in Christ and be glad the way he made me and glad the way he built me. That's when my life began to change. So I want to ask you this question. Deborah was a prophetess. Do you know your calling? Do you have a divine design? Do you know your place in the body of Christ? Do you know your calling and how that affects Victory Life? You affect Victory Life. Every one of you, they call Victory Life home. You affect it by what you do or by what you don't do. You need to let that sink in. Because you affect the church by what you do or by what you do not do. And Deborah was a prophetess, and I'm just going to ask you, what are you? What are you? Do you know what you are? The second thing that it says about her is that she was the wife of Lapidoth. Lapidoth. This is the only time that Deborah's husband is mentioned in the Bible. So you can kind of just look at that and surmise that he was either dead and Deborah was a widow, or he was distinguished and Deborah was admired. But either way, I want you to notice she is not introduced as a wife first. She's not introduced as a wife first. Her calling in the spirit comes before her connection in the flesh. Her calling in the spirit comes before her connection in the flesh. And this is a huge key for your life. Deborah was introduced first as a prophetess. A prophetess is what God designed her to be. So she was a wife by choice, but she was a prophetess by design. She was a wife by choice, but she was a prophetess by design. And that is a key for us because she made a choice who she submitted to. And I believe that Deborah was a woman who understood the power of submission. Submission is the power of right alignment. If your back ever goes out, I've had some disc problems since I was 16, but when that disc shifts, every part of your body does not function well. And when your front end on your car is out of alignment, it doesn't drive well. And I want you to understand this about, like, for your car and the tire. Nothing is wrong with the tire. Nothing is wrong with the tire, but it's ruined because of bad alignment. And too many Christians, their lives are ruined by bad alignment. There's no submission in their life. So coming from the military base where we're located next to, submission in the Greek is two words, hupotasso. And probably, I'm sure Pastor Dwayne has ministered on this, but I did find out that that word submission is a military word, and it means to rank under. Hupo actually means to come under, and tasso means to arrange in an orderly manner, an orderly manner. And so when you put those two words together, this is what submission means, to arrange yourself in an orderly manner and come under leadership, authority, headship for the purpose of victory. For the purpose of victory. So we have found out on kind of like the front line down there in Killeen with Fort Hood, that in the Army, if there is no submission to authority, people die. People physically die. They're killed on the battlefield because men and women do not submit to their leadership and to the orders that have been given. And so I'm going to ask you this, just as the body of Christ, how many times in the church have marriages been killed, lives been damaged because of the lack of submission that we have one to another and us unto the Lord? It is a right alignment. And the key is arranging yourself, because nobody can make you be submissive. Nobody can make you prepare your heart. Nobody can make you guard your heart. Nobody can make you enlarge your heart. So a submission is the attitude of your heart. Obedience is just an act of the flesh. I've got a son that's 20, and I could ask my son Tyler to go take out the trash, and he could get up, and he could walk and stomp and just, I can't believe you've asked me to do that, and slam doors and still take out the trash. Well, he was obedient, but he was not submissive. And you can be submissive and not be obedient. Because I've learned through listening to some other CDs from Pastor Dwayne, we are subject to the higher powers, to God, to Jesus, to our conscience. And so you are the one that's going to have to make up your mind to be submitted and submission. Submission is the power of right alignment. Alignment in the Bible, or alignment in the dictionary, says arrangement in a straight line, or in correct or appropriate relative submissions. And submission is not about agreement. Submission doesn't even come into play until you do not agree. Until you do not agree. That's when you're submitted. Because agreement is just agreeing. So submission has to do with our heart more than our head. And submission has to do with cooperation and coming into agreement. Submission has to do with arranging and adjusting and coming in to make sure we have a straight line. And submission to authority, submission to headship, and submission to leadership is a prerequisite. The word prerequisite means it's a requirement and it's necessary for leading at the next level or leading at the higher level. Only those who are under authority have the right to exercise authority. That's hupotasso. So how do we know this to be true about Deborah? That Deborah was a woman and a wife of submission. And I believe, just from what I've surmised and through prayer, God does not anoint or empower chaos or a rebellious heart. He doesn't anoint and he doesn't appoint someone with a rebellious heart. So I'm going to ask you, who are you submitted to? Who are you submitted to? Deborah had a calling, you have a calling. Deborah was submitted to headship. Are you submitted to headship? Because I heard last night Pastor John Donnelly, and he said he's told you this maybe for the last couple of years, that you need to release your pastors to go do whatever it is this next season that they have in their life while the season is still pastoring Victory Life. But that cannot happen if there are not men and women here that know their calling and who are submitted to authority, because otherwise they'll come back to chaos. They'll come back to fighting and strife and envy. And so you must know your calling and you must be submitted. And then the third thing, it says that she's a leader. Not only that, she was leading Israel at that time. That is very important that we get that. She was leading Israel at that time. Deborah was the leader of a nation. And I want you to let that sink in, because women did not lead anything back then. They didn't lead a life group. They didn't lead a basket weaving group. They did not lead, especially men. And they didn't lead a city. They didn't lead a region. And they certainly didn't lead a nation. Yet God says Deborah was put in the place because of her calling. And because of submission to authority, she was leading a nation at that time. A woman was leading the nation. A woman was judging the nation of Israel. Because when you look at the primary sense of the word leading there, it's the word judging, and it means to exercise the processes of government. Government. So at that time in that history, women did not lead a nation. In Judges chapter 4, verse 5, it says, she held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah, which was a hill or a high place, and Bethel, which is the house of God, in the hill country. So her palm tree was like Capitol Hill. In the country of Ephraim, and the Israelites came to her to have their disputes decided. So there was a tree named after her, because she was leading at a high level. This is what I really believe for us as Christians and where we are at today and where you are as Victory Life Church and where you're headed. She had a tree named after her. So we have buildings and we have roads and we have streets and other things like that that people have, their names have been put on those buildings. But it was people that had done something, people that were leading, people that were involved in their community, involved in their state, involved in their nation. And I think that in these next few years, we should have some people rise up within the body of Christ and start seeing some streets named after them, start seeing some buildings named after them. You need to let that sink in. Deborah was leading Israel at that time. Did you know at that time the 12 tribes could not get along? They were fighting amongst themselves. There were civil unrest, religious unrest, attacks upon Israel's way of life. Matter of fact, in Judges chapter 17 and verse 6, in Judges 21, 25, it says, in those days Israel had no king, which means they had no leader, they had no leadership, they had no example to follow, no one to give proper direction. Everyone, the Bible says, everyone did as he saw fit. So whatever seemed right in their eyes, that's what they would do. Whatever felt they felt like doing, that's what they would do. And that sounds like a lot, that sounds a lot like our nation today, a lot like our people today. Deborah was literally functioning in the role that Moses had functioned in. Deborah was serving the people of Israel. And you spell leader S-E-R-V-A-N-T. That's how you spell leader. Mark 10, verse 45 says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." So the greatest leader became a servant to all. So if Jesus, the Son of the living God, did not skip this process, what would ever make us believe we could? If Jesus didn't skip the process, what makes us think that we could? So my question would be to you tonight, Victory Life, are you a leader within your nation? And nation could be your marriage, it could be your family, it could be your job, it could be your church, it could be your community, it could be your school, it could be the team that you're on. Are you holding court like Deborah? Do you have something to say? And whatever you do have to say, will it help others? So I believe that we are destined and we are equipped and we are appointed and anointed to lead at a higher level than we presently do and we presently sit at. Jeremiah 29 and 11, most of the time we hear this when it's graduation. But Jeremiah 29 and 11 says, "I know the plans." So again, that's plural, plans. There is more than one that time. It says that she was leading Israel at that time. So there is more than just one that time. Deborah led Israel for 40 years, and that was her that time. So if you first do not know and understand your calling, you will not be able to walk in submission to authority. And if you do not understand the power of submission, you will abuse and misuse the office of leadership. Because the higher you climb in leadership, the less it becomes about you. The less it becomes about you, the higher you climb. Deborah was functioning in her calling as a prophetess. She was submitted to authority, the wife of Lapidoth, and she was leading a nation called Israel. So I want to ask you this. What did God create you to be? What did he create you to do? Who did he create you to submit to? You've got to have somebody that you're submitting your life to, that you're following, that there's an authority over your life. And what did God and who did God create you to lead? You know, I read a statistic years ago that said the most withdrawn person affects 10,000 people in their lifetime. A person who is shy and just really doesn't do anything or talk to people, they affect 10,000 people in their lifetime. So God has a calling on your life. He has a place for you to lead. So I've kind of got here fast because I almost felt like the old Smokey and the Bandit song. We got a long way to go and a short time to get there. And if you don't know what Smokey and Bandit is, Google it. I'm finding the older I get, I'm having to say Google it all the time. But I feel a connection to Deborah and her life. I don't know what you do, but she led at a level people probably didn't think she was qualified. She's leading at a level that probably they didn't think she was qualified. A lot of times if a person's name doesn't have a bunch of other, other letters behind it, they're not qualified to lead. I don't have any letters behind my name except the four that I put there, S-M-O-G, Mark Price, sexy man of God. So that's there. So my wife is just blessed beyond compare because she lives in the fog, the favor of God, and she's married to Smog, sexy man of God. Isn't that right? You couldn't see that, but she mouthed, absolutely. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. See, I also feel a connection to Joseph in his life because he went from the prison to the palace in less than 24 hours. Last year's message that I was able to preach here, the power of the plateau is not meant for you to rest, or that's not meant for you to nest. It's meant for you to rest so you can go to the next higher place. That's been more or less my life story in ministry for 31 years. At Evangel Temple in Denison, Texas, I served for 6 years. For three and a half years, I served at New Life Church, which is your campus in Sherman, and I served there for 3.5 years. I served the pastor of the church that I now pastor for 2.5 years, another plateau. And then we moved to Fort Worth for 10.5 years. So that was another plateau for us. And so that's been my life. Plateau, rest, figure out what the next time to climb. Climb. Plateau, rest, figure out the next time to climb. Plateau, rest, and climb. That's what God is calling us to do and calling us to be. My favorite verse in the Bible is Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. It says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think, according to the power of God that is at work within us." So I want to ask you tonight, Victory Life, what are you asking God to do in your life? What are you asking God to do in your life? What are you thinking that God can do, imagining and dreaming for your life? See, sitting here with Pastor Dwayne and Miss Sue and the church staff, and you're here at Victory and you're here at Jubilee, you feel something. You see, I went online and I saw that from last year, 3 other churches were added, 2 in Colorado, 1 in Texarkana. I thought it was supposed to be Texarkana, Arkansas. They told me what happened. It's Texarkana, Texas. And I'm just thinking, why don't you just get it in your spirit to put a Victory Life Church in all 50 states? Why don't you just do that? And I began to just meditate on that and think, there's going to be one in Hawaii. So maybe they can't travel for Jubilee, and we're going to have Jubilee in Hawaii, and I stay in the good graces of Pastor, and I get a call from Miss Pam. Y'all know who Miss Pam is, right? Phone call something like this. "Hello, is this Pastor Mark?" "Yes, this is Pam." "Oh, how you doing, Pam?" "I'm fine, thanks for asking. Pastor Dwayne wants to know if you can come to Hawaii and speak at Jubilee." "Well, Pam, I'll need to pray about that." "Yes." "Be up in Alaska." "Can't come." They can't. "We got to go to Alaska and have Jubilee." "Pastor Mark, Pastor Dwayne wants to know if you would come up to Alaska and speak at Jubilee. And it's the hunting season. He says, bring your 30-06 with you. We're hunting caribou, we're hunting bear, we're hunting big ram. Could you do that?" "Well, let me pray about that." "Yes, shandaluya, I'm coming." Why not have a Victory Life in every state? Why not have that? I can tell you, Washington, D.C. needs that. So I know for me, 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago, I had the opportunity. I got to go to Washington, D.C. for the first time. And so we're talking about leading at a higher level. That's really what I'm trying to get across to you. That a woman like Deborah, who had a calling on her life, a prophetess, and who was submitted to her husband, was leading at a much higher level than they thought probably she should be. And I'm here to tell you, you can lead at a higher level. And as I was walking down the street, and I was so surprised at how easy it was to go into the buildings, still with security, and meet some of the representatives from our state, from Texas. I got to go in and meet with John Conley for about 15 minutes, sit down in his office, talk to him. And as I was walking down the street, I really heard the Lord speak to me and say, "You belong here. You belong here. You need to have a voice here." And we do need to have a voice in our nation's capital. They need the voice of Dwayne Sheriff. They need that voice. And I'm asking you, what are you asking God to do in your life? What do you think about when you think about your life?
What do you think about you? See, I asked you this question earlier. Do you have a word from the Lord to you about you? See, I had this happen for me 27 years ago. We've been in our church now 3 years. So 27 years ago at Evangel Temple, 3400 Highway 75 South in Denison, Texas, I was up in the evangelist quarters watching a VHS recording. If you don't know what VHS is, Google it. And my mother-in-law had given, a friend of hers had given it to my mother-in-law, and my mother-in-law gave it to Teresa, and Teresa gave it to me and said, "This is a church, and I think Mark needs to watch this. I think he would like this." And so I remember sticking the VHS recording in, turning on the TV and watching it. And I just began to cry. I felt, the Spirit of God was in that room, in that little upstairs corner room where we were staying at that time. And I remember watching it, and it was a very large church. And it was a tall, white pastor. And as they panned up on the platform, there was a white guy at the piano playing and singing like a black brother, and was leading this choir that was incredible and so diverse. And then they panned and they showed the size of the congregation, and there was every color that I could see. And I remember sitting there 27 years ago, and the Lord spoke to me and said, "One day you will pastor a multi-ethnic, multi-generational, and multicultural church." That's what He spoke to me. And so in 2001 to the middle of 2003, Teresa and I went and served at the church that we're at as the worship pastors. And so we were there. And so have you ever heard the terminology, it's a square peg in a round hole? It just doesn't fit. Everywhere I was in ministry, that's the way I felt. There was a lot of me in the hole, but there was a part of me still out. And so when I came to Grace Christian Center in 2001, it was the square peg in the square hole. It's like I was made for this place. And I loved it. I was around, my best friend became, he was from South America. My two best friends, one was a black guy, one was a Hispanic guy. We didn't even have those people where I grew up. So my life started to expand and started to be enriched. And 2.5 years later, the Lord said, "Move to Fort Worth." And I said, "I don't know anybody in Fort Worth." It was an Abraham-type experience. Get up, sell your home that you just built a year and a half ago, and move to Fort Worth and go live there. And I didn't know what was going on, but we stayed there for 10.5 years. And then on Thursday, October the 10th, 2013, I remember where I was standing in the church that we had started, Covenant Life Church, and I was standing there in the lobby. And I got a phone call that my former pastors at Grace Christian Center, Terry and Jan Whitley, who had pastored and started the church for 33.5 years, and their senior associate, Steve Timmerman, who I served with and who had served them for 15 years, they were coming back from Austin. He had gone and picked them up from a trip that they had had overseas, and somebody following them gave the account that one of the tires blew out. And it began to flip over, and all three of them were killed. And I remember, like it was yesterday, standing there and going and sitting in the hallway and just beginning to cry because I couldn't believe this happened to somebody that I had served. And so we went back for the funeral. We talked to the people and just said, "Look, we can't do much, but we can pray. I got a small church of about 120 people. And we can pray for you, but I would love to come back and preach and just love on the people for you while you try to find the pastor." Now listen to me. This was a church of 1,300 people. And so the idea of pastoring this church never entered into my mind because I thought, I'm not qualified. I don't have degrees. I didn't go to the right school. I didn't go to Bible school. I went to Knee University, K-N-E-E. That's the university I went to. I learned it the hard way. So I didn't go to Bible school. So the thought never even entered my mind. But we went and we preached on in November, and all heaven broke loose. And so a few months later, they called us back and they said, would you come back and preach again? We'd like to talk to you about becoming the pastors of the church. And there was a group of men that they had sought counsel from that they met. Those men met with me and they said, he's not the guy. He only runs a church of 120. He can't lead this. But there was one man that said, he just said, look, I've heard from God and this is the man. So let me tell you, you may think nobody knows where you're at, but I'm telling you, God can take you from the prison to the palace. God can take you from a place of, my church was not a prison, but from I had little influence, and he took me to a place of great influence. He jumped me, just like he did Deborah, just like he did Joseph. Can you imagine going into one of the prisons here in Oklahoma and just pulling out a good old boy and putting him in as president of the United States or the vice president? Because that's really what happened to Joseph. And so what I'm trying to get across to you here this morning or this evening is that your church is in a place to move forward. Churches, many churches, one body. But God wants to add to that. I know that's probably in the heart of your pastor. That's in the heart of a large part of this people. But for that to take place, there has to be some Deborahs rise up. So whether your name is Mark or Bob or Bill, you need to become a Deborah. You need to become a Deborah. You need to become a person that knows their calling, that has a word from the Lord to you about you. So for 24 years, every pastor I served and every church that I went to, I would tell my pastor up front, I'm here to serve you, but I know that I'm called one day to pastor a multicultural, multi-ethnic, multi-generational church. Teresa and I would have never dreamed that God would send us back to Killeen. And I don't even have time to tell you all the things that have taken place there in 3 years, three plus years. But God is now giving us favor with the city. We just began to open up our building to the city, and now the city is calling us saying, can you host this, and can you host that, and can you do this, and can you do that? You can deal with this, or you can deal with that. That's old, I know. So here's what I want to say to you tonight. I believe I carry a spirit of acceleration and elevation now that I did not carry 4 years ago or 3.5 years ago. And I read the scripture to you earlier that says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it can't come out of you if it's not in you. So I believe that spirit of acceleration and elevation is on me, just like it was on Deborah and just like it was on Joseph. And there are many of you here, or I won't say many, but there are some of you here tonight that you feel like it's the climb is too hard. The climb is too hard. Pastor Mark, I'd really rather just nest instead of rest. I'd really rather build a campfire, build the camp, build the home, let this be it. But I'm here to tell you, when you have a word from the Lord to you, about you, it drives you. When you want to quit, you can't. There was probably times, well, Pastor Dwayne even tells on himself that for like 3 years, he told the church every Sunday, I'm not staying. That's not what I'm called to do. But God said, look, I've given you a word to you about you, and you know who you are in me, and you need to be able to teach this and lead a nation of people called Victory Life Church. So I believe the word that Pastor John spoke last night, that God is calling your pastor to the four corners of the earth. There is not a better teacher of the word of God than Dwayne Sheriff. There is not. There are great teachers. So you have a gem here in Durant, Oklahoma, that the world needs to get to wear.
and the world needs to get to see. But if you don't know your calling, and you don't know how to be submitted to leadership and who to be submitted to, you're not going to be able to lead at the level that you are called to. There are some of you here that you're not involved. You need to start getting involved. You know you need to get involved. Listen, you can give of your time, your talent, and your treasure. And there are some of you that have treasures that Victory Life desperately needs to go to that next level and that next plateau. And you've got to be able to start to stand up and say, my name is Deborah. You may have to walk in and go to an office and they say, what are you doing here? My name is Deborah. That's going to tell them two things. You know your calling and you're submitted to leadership and you're ready to lead. You're ready to lead. So here's what I want to do. I want to be able to pray over anybody that is in my that is presently in the position that I was 3+ years ago. That you've got a word from the Lord to you about you, but it has not manifested yet. Because I want you to experience what I have experienced by having a dream, speaking the dream, keeping the dream, and now I live the dream. And if that's you, I just want you to stand up where you're at because I want to pray over you tonight. I've got something that I carry that I want to give to you. And it's going to be a spirit of acceleration and elevation. God wants to elevate you to a higher place. See, I knew for 24 years I was created for more. I kept thinking to myself, this cannot be it. This, and wherever I was, I gave it my all. I act like, even though I wasn't the senior pastor of those churches, I act like, in my heart, I owned it. It's my church. And here's what I found out. Until you own what is yours, you don't get to own what is yours. So you need to own Victory Life. Whether it's in Atoka, Boswell, Hugo, wherever it's at, Texarkana, Colorado, Hawaii, wherever it's at. I'm just going to prophesy that Hawaii thing. I tell you, I feel that in Jesus' name. But I want to pray for you. My life has been so enriched in the last 3+ years because my dream came alive and it manifested. But here's what I want to tell you. Even though now I get to live my dream, I've gone back to Jeremiah 29:11. He said he has plans for me. He said you get to lead at this time, that time. So I know there's more, and I'm asking him right now, what is the more? What is the next that time while this time is taking place? What is the next that time while this is taking place? But many of you here, you need to experience your that time. So I'm just going to ask you to lift your hands and let me pray over you tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, you see every man and woman, young man and woman that's standing this evening. Lord, you know the desire of their heart. They're called to be leaders. They're called to lead at a higher level. Lord, they have a vision and a dream. Lord, you've given them a word to them about them. And it's from you. They don't need another word from somebody else, even though that's great for encouragement. They don't even need a pat on the back, even though that's great, because they have a word from you to them about them. And I'm praying, God, in the name of Jesus, that it will manifest, just like you let it manifest in Killeen, Texas, at Grace Christian Center, for myself and for Teresa. And we literally live the dream. I pray, God, that you would let these men and women know their calling. Let it be strong. Let it be strong. And let them be strong in the Lord and the power of your might. Let them walk in submission. They're not going to agree every time with leadership. As much as they love the leadership, as much as they love Pastor Dwayne, they're not going to agree every time, but that's what submission is. I'm going to put myself in right alignment. I'm going to give myself, I will check myself. I won't have to have anybody else check me. And because I know my calling and because I'm submitted, I'm going to get to lead at a higher level than I ever thought I could lead. It doesn't matter what my mama has said. Doesn't matter what my daddy has said. Doesn't matter what my siblings have said. Doesn't matter what my classmates have said. It doesn't matter people around me. It doesn't matter what they say. Because God, you've called me to lead at a high level. Now, I prophesy that over all of you that are standing here tonight. I'm a living, breathing Joseph. It can happen. It can happen. But you have got to maintain, and you've got to stay, and you've got to be willing to believe it will come to pass. And so, Father, let that anointing rest on their life. Let every day that they breathe, let every time that they think about it, that they give you praise. Father, remind them of my story. 24 years, but it did manifest, and it's better, and it's bigger than I thought it would be. So, Father, I give you praise for that today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So quickly, you can be seated. So in the last part of January, like I said, I went away, and I was worshiping, and I've never had this before. And the Lord gave me a word for the two of you. He gave me a word for Jeremy. He gave me a word for Jacob, for Shekinah and Angelica. And I just want to speak it over you tonight. So Pastor Dwayne and Sue, when I was worshiping, I'm a person that likes to, if I can see it, I can do it. My personality is I've got to see it. I can't read it and do it. I've got to see it. If I can see it, I can do it. So the Lord always speaks to me in pictures. And what I saw was a ship. It was big. It was like an aircraft carrier, a destroyer, or a battleship. And I literally saw USS Sheriff on the front of it. And there were other ships around both of you, all different sizes. So I felt like the Lord said, that's your pastors and that's your leaders. That's everybody in Victory Life Church. And I heard the Lord say this, you ought to storm the shores. Storm the shores. Stop worrying about the casualties because it's people making bad decisions. The weight is not too much to bear if you share. And he said, the tide is rising. So if you go higher, everybody goes higher with you. So Jeremy, so when I got through listening to that, I heard God, and he said it pretty strong. He said, stand up, O mighty man of God. Rise up and speak up. Come out of the shadows. Take your rightful place. There is more in you than you think and more in you than you realize. So Jacob, it's going to get better, but the first thing the Lord spoke to me when I heard this was, your name means deceiver. That's what I first heard. But that's because of the story of Jacob and Esau, and so that's what first came to me. But he said, not deceiver, deliverer. And he said, I'm changing your name tonight, not literally, but spiritually. Same name, new definition. So today, I thought, you know, Lord, I don't know what else to tell Jeremy, but he said, look up the word deliverer in the dictionary. It means a person who rescues you from harm or danger. It means one who delivers. It means a preserver and one who relates or communicates. And this is what I know, Jeremy. When God gave men and women, or God gave the men the new name, he gave them a new assignment. With a new assignment, there was a new anointing. And with a new anointing, there's new authority. So I heard this, Shekinah, daughter of the Most High God, you have had a tough year, but you are tougher than your year. The spirit of rejection is broken off of you. And he told me this at the end of January to a guy that lives in Killeen that was going to be here tonight. And he told me to tell you this, you are beautiful. You are beautiful. Believe in yourself because God believes in you. And is Angelica here? Where's she at? You back there? So I got a little concerned last night when I was asking, and they said you weren't here. And I thought, well, maybe I didn't hear from God because I thought it was for everybody. This is what I heard. As soon as your name came to me, he said, a prophetess like Deborah, no longer shy. He said, I did not make you to be like your mom. I did not make you to be like your dad. I didn't make you to be like your siblings. He said, there is nothing wrong with you. So I pray for the Sheriff family that this edifies you, that it exhorts you, and that it comforts you. Thank you.